Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you this evening, and Lord, we ask that you would manifest your sweet spirit to us. Lord, we ask that you would touch our hearts. Father, I stand before these people so inadequate tonight to discuss the things that we're about to discuss. Father, after spending some time in study, Lord, it's obvious that we could spend the entire time that we have remaining upon this earth literally, God, in Ephesians chapter 6, and Lord, still scratch the surface of what it all means. God, open up our ears and our hearts and our eyes, Father, to the reality that we have been called into a battle. And Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would leave this place tonight never being the same people that we were tonight coming in. And I know, dear God, already that in my heart, you've called me to a new level of commitment to you. And God, for that, I'm grateful. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to your people tonight and draw them closer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be in verse 14 tonight. And while you're going there, a brief recap of last week. We saw, really, in the foundation of what Paul was talking about in Ephesians, he talked about the security and the blessings of those that are saved and those that are called into the family of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians chapters 1 all the way through 5 and portions of chapter 6 is a great treaty of promises given to us by the Spirit of God that he is in control even of our very salvation. And that brings my heart great joy and great comfort to know that, because there's times in my walk when I have to run back to these verses and draw strength from them. I need it so often in my life. We talked last week when Paul opened up his talk concerning this in verse 10. He said, "Finally, after all the things I've said, finally be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the trickery, the methods, the craftiness of the devil himself, and against spirits that are enthroned in high places, in government, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. They actually rally for position in your home. And if you're a Christian, and if you're growing, you will definitely receive opposition from the enemy." So many people, they come and they accept Jesus Christ and they go off on their way and they never really grow. They just settle for a lukewarm kind of commitment to the Lord. And it's easy for them. Their life is very easy and there's no turmoil and attack. And yet you see somebody who's very committed to the Lord and they're battling a sickness here or they're having this kind of a problem here and there and the other place. And so often, it is because of spiritual attack. Gary, given his testimony tonight, mentioned the word oppression concerning his brother. There are three attacks that the enemy pulls upon us. He has three modes of infiltration into our lives. There is one thing, you might want to write these down if you feel led to do this. There's one thing called suppression, that this demonic or spiritual activity in the world suppresses, or at least attempts to suppress, the work of God in your life. The second one is oppression. Oppression is often very violent. People who sometimes appear to be possessed are not possessed, but very oppressed. And that's where you'll see Christians suffer great depression. They'll even be led to the point of suicide because they lose track of what is going on in their lives and where the Lord Jesus Christ is in their lives by oppression. So we have suppression, oppression, and then if you are not a Christian, and I say that with as much clarity as I can say, if you are not a Christian, you are wide open for possession. And in each of us, as Gary talked tonight, in each of our lives prior to coming to Christ, we had no covering in our lives. We could have been possessed by an evil spirit at any time if it weren't for the grace of God. It's an awesome thought. Suppression, oppression, and finally possession in the final states. of demonic activity. Very serious. And then in verse 13, Paul says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand." We are to take it up and stand. Now, I don't know about you, but how do you put this stuff on? Take up the whole armor. Chuck Missler in his home up at Big Bear has got this gigantic statue, an antique of a knight in shining armor that he got in England as a gift from some friends. And in his entryway, there's this guy standing there. And the Missler family calls him Ephesians chapter 6. That's his name. And he's the whole armor of God standing there. Actually, he's a symbol to them of what it is that they ought to be thinking and they ought to be doing in their Christian experience day in and day out. And here he's got the helmet, he's got the breastplate, he's got the sword, and he's standing there. But the similarity ends right there because he's nothing but a statue. He's hollow on the inside. And a Christian is full of life. And if you're full of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be a soldier that will always be under attack. Again, Paul tells us not to think it's strange, these fiery trials, or James, that comes upon us. We haven't yet resisted the evil to the point of blood. I don't know if any of you have. I have not. Come close, where someone wants to pick up a stone and hit you in the head because of your testimony. The scripture tells us, take it easy. We haven't resisted to the point of blood yet. For many people in the church tonight, they resist with blood. In Europe, in areas of North Africa, where it's a capital offense to be a Christian. In Ethiopia, you're found to be a Christian, you're put to death. And in Kuwait, it's against the law to be a Christian. It's punishable by death. And it's not uncommon in other parts of the world. Very serious things. But tonight we're going to focus on verse 14 and then a very specific part of verse 14. And it is my prayer. I want to tell you something right now. I feel so inadequate. I wish I would have had 10 or 12 hours to study for this for tonight. I didn't have that time because of other commitments, my work and all. But I realized when I got into this, I want you to write this down. Please write this down. I have a book that's been in my library for a little over a year, and I haven't really thought about picking it up. And I picked it up this week for the first time seriously, and it began to blow my mind. It's called The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. If you're prone to buy books, buy it. That book will blow your mind, and I tell you right now, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I literally had to pull myself away from that book last night and put myself to bed because I had to get up at 5 o'clock to go to work. I was so excited. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit on my heart that, I don't know, if a demon would have showed up, he would have been dead meat after just scratching the surface of that book. By the way, it's incredibly fine print. It's about that thick. I've determined to complete that book in the next 5 years. I want to complete that book. Because I sat down to a page and a half, and I had literally realized I had consumed a steak dinner and all of the other things combined with it. It's too much. It's awesome. And I want to share some of the things that I gleaned from that book last night and from Scripture. In verse 14, Paul the Apostle says, after all of these things, and after you take up the whole armor of God and you've done everything to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And let's dissect that because that's the only way to look at it. That verse literally reads in the Greek, stand firm, unmovable, having your vitals, internals, procreative parts wrapped, fastened, firmly held together with truth. Isn't that radical? That is awesome. Your vitals, and we're going to get into these things, girded with truth. The first thing we ought to stop and ask is, what's truth? And it's awesome because I got out some commentaries, and the fact of the matter is, these great guys are divided. But it's a good type of division because they're divided on still very good things. And I'll share them with you, and you be the judge yourself, and then I'll give you my opinion, which probably isn't worth much. Truth, you are to be girded with it to the point, ladies, or I guess us guys need to understand this. When you put a girdle on, you're holding things in. I don't know if women even do that anymore. But if you put it on, you begin to hold things in and hold things tight. I can't relate to that as much as I can relate to this. I radically hurt my back one Friday evening coming home from work, lifting the garage door to my apartment. I bent down and I pulled that little handle and I saw stars and I hit the ground and I was moaning in the alley and Lisa had to come get me, took me to the hospital. My disc had jumped out of between two vertebrae. I thought I was going to die. It's a terrible pain. And what they do is they get this thing that's about this big and then they wrap this thing around you. And so your waist is like about a 13, but everything is held together. And I tell you, it's very hard to breathe, but it's holding everything tight, firm. And I felt that everything else in my body was free to flap in the breeze, but that portion, I mean, it was tight, and I couldn't move at all. And the very fact of the matter is, that's exactly what Paul's saying here. He's saying, take your vitals, your internals. And I love this one translation says, your procreative parts. Think about that. Your procreative, your reproductive parts. Paul says, wrap them really tight that you may be able to stand and wage this war. I don't think he means that literally in the way of buying super underwear. I think what he means is this. If I'm not girded about with truth, I'm going to lose my keenness, my sharpness as a believer. I will not be effective in the world. I will not be wielding my sword of the Spirit. And if I'm not girded about with truth, then I'm loose. I'm lackadaisical. I'm complacent. You see what I'm saying? I'm lazy concerning spiritual things. And so what happens is I am no longer reproducing for the kingdom of God. I'm not procreating anymore. You see, I'm going to lose my desire to share. I'm going to lose my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it blows my mind to think Paul knew exactly what he was talking about via the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Take the vitals of your life, your internals, the things that count. And in our vernacular, we would say, take your heart, take your spirit, your soul, and protect them. Gird them about with truth. Now, here's where they divide. Some teach that the truth is unadulterated, pure doctrine of the Scripture. And hey, who would ever speak against that? Nobody would. It's true doctrine. And they left it at that. Some say, no, it's a sincere heart. It's a true heart. It's a heart that is very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to the Scripture of God. And so it's a heart that's filled with sincerity towards God. And who on earth would argue with that? This is my opinion, and it's William Grinnell's opinion. And it's neat because I was excited. I had that opinion before I read the book. And I like when the Spirit speaks that way. It confirms it to my heart. He says it's both. And that's not compromise. It's exactly true. If you're going to be girded about with truth, you need to be like those who were in Berea in Acts chapter 17, 11, where they were more notable, they were more diligent, they were more sensible than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul the Apostle was teaching them were truly true. And Paul said, boy, these guys, they know their Scripture. Paul came preaching, and these guys, you could hear them with their Bible. Paul would say something, and they would run over to Deuteronomy. Yeah, he's right on that one. And Paul says, man, these guys are heavy. These guys are different people than those in Thessalonica. These guys search the scriptures daily to see if what we've been teaching them are true. And I like that. They were sincere in their heart. They were deeply committed to God in the inward parts of their heart. Their soul or their vitals, you see? And they confirmed everything by the word of God, by doctrine. They were very well-balanced people. And what's tragic today, you got people down the street that are swinging from the chandeliers, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and that's great. But if you begin to talk to them about holiness and ask them about, what do you think about this and that, doctrine, they don't even know where they're at. I'm not knocking them. They love the Lord, but they're asleep in the light. You know what I'm saying? And that's not good. We need to be very well-balanced people, and that's exactly what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 6. We need to have the sincerity in our hearts, and we also need to have true doctrine. Okay, let's zoom in. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Some of you have the old King James Version Bible, and it says loins, doesn't it? Some of you? That's excellent, because that is the word that means vitals, internals, procreative powers. Your reproductive capability as a believer, it's found in your loins. Now, listen, your loins scripturally mean this. The deep inward part of your heart, the soul, the spirit that's committed to the Lord. Gernal went on to say in his book that if your heart, the loins, the vitals of an individual be cut loose and not girded about, it is as though a sailing ship is in the sea with the greatest of winds and the strongest of sails, and yet its keel be snapped off, its rudder, it will go aimlessly along whichever way the wind drives it. It will have no governor or no rudder to steer it along. And Gernal says that if a Christian is not girded about in truth, they're going to be just like that. And we'll see tonight, by the time we end, how dangerous that position could be. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says, but that seed that fell on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, vitals, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring it forth with fruit, with patience. That's absolutely essential. As you hear the word of God, what is it coming upon? What kind of heart? Is it a sincere heart? Is it a heart that's girded with truth? It's got to be if we're going to grow. Listen, if you're going to leave here tonight, don't forget this. I need to gird my heart. I need to draw tight doctrine and sincerity around my heart. When you pick up and do your devotion tonight or tomorrow when you go to bed and get up and all that stuff and you're at lunch and all that, you need to ask yourself, how am I hearing this? Oh, God, search my heart. You cannot study the Bible and apply these truths if you've got bitterness towards your brother or your sister. I've tried all that. When Lisa and I are in an argument and I've got to study now. And now goes, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. A couple of weeks ago, we had a dispute about something so stupid, I forgot what it even was now. And I drove down here and I sat down. My heart rate was still elevated from the situation. I sit there and I just go, Lord, closed my Bible, got in the car, drove home. Told her I was sorry, gave her a kiss, and I could not come back here and study until the waters were still. And I didn't want to waste my time and then come here on Sunday and waste all of your time, because God won't speak. My heart needs to be girded about with truth, sincerity. Listen to this. Gernal says that it is the seat of faith, your heart. It's the seat of faith. As the loins are the seat of a man's vitality and existence, if they be loosed, the man will perish. And if the seat of faith be jarred, the man perishes. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And you know how he's going to devour? He's not going to come up and show these fangs, knock at your door and say, land shark. and come on in. He is going to use people. He's going to use Christians. As much as that, it hurts me to say that. He'll use non-believers. He'll use children. He'll use all kinds of things to get his foot in the door. And once his foot's in the door, he begins this insidious attack. And in all reality, if you're girded about with truth, you will begin to see and recognize that Satan is coming through Peter right now because he does not savor the things of God, but the things of men. And he'll come and he'll use even your mouth at times and your will to cause division or to cause an attack. He's like a lion, roaming about, seeking someone to devour. And if it's in the body of Christ, the better it is to him, the sweeter the bite. And we need to be aware of this. We need to be so serious about this. You may think the things that are going on in your home right now just happen to be the way it goes because this is life. And I warn you about something. Every time I get sucked into some trap by the enemy, it's because I have failed to recognize what is happening. And you know why I fail? Because it comes so naturally. It comes so naturally and so cool that I just blow it right off. This can't be the enemy. It's too natural. And yet you stand back and there's confusion and there's attack and there's division. And you realize that's exactly who it is. We need to be so very smart and so very wise because the fact of the matter is, he's like a Pac-Man going around, looking. And if your heart is not girded about with truth, with true doctrine, and with true sincerity, with no self-deception mixed into the cookies, it's a clean batch. You sit down and you're going to really look at the Word of God and you're going to eat it and you're going to say, God, I'm taking this in because I want to grow thereby. I want to be more like you, Jesus. We've got to do that, or else we will fail on every front. We'll fail with our families. We'll fail with our work, because Satan will get his foot in the door, and he'll launch his cancerous attack. And it's vital that we be on guard, because he's like a lion. He's going to devour. Now, what does he devour? The Scripture tells us that we need to stay in the Scriptures, that we need to fellowship and be in prayer, and we need to be building on our most holy faith. And that's the key. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how you get faith, by hearing the Word of God, applying it to your heart. So Satan comes, just like he does in that parable with the sower and the seeds, and he begins to pull it away. Pull the seed away and eat it away so that they have nothing to stand on. And he literally causes faith to be eroded. And I look around some of these precious old saints of ours, 70, I think Ashton was telling me 75 years old, Ken 86 or 7 years old. They've walked with God longer than I can imagine. And there's absolutely no way of enduring to the end as they have endured, with your loins loose, flapping around, weak. Because what happens is, if you're not girded about, you'll be caught off and gone away with every wind of doctrine. And I got news for you. Timothy tells us that in the last days, people will come and they're going to be the most dynamic speakers the world has ever heard. They're going to be the most charismatic people. They're going to have that little shine in their eye and that sparkle in their teeth and their smile. They're going to look just right. They're going to be so slick and they're going to talk so good. And Paul says, you know what? In the end times, they're going to be people who entice. And the people that will hear them will be those that like to have their ears tickled. They want to be stroked. And I don't know about you, but I'm just getting sick and tired of picking up my newspaper and seeing, come to Joe's Family Church, a multimedia presentation with full-colored slides and a video and dancing girls. I saw this one thing. I think Bobby showed it to me that night at your house, that advertisement for some church and somewhere. And it was sitting in such a way that the advertisement was covered, and they had these three girlies on the front, And I thought, I mean this, the first thought that came to my mind is this is an ad for a pornography thing. I mean, these girls looked incredible. And I, holy cow, and I opened it up like that, and it was to a church. These people were going to be performing. And everybody's going after this stuff. Forget the doctrine. Forget about being girded about with truth. And people are pursuing it, and the Bible warns us that that's going to happen in the last days. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the same principle is applied here. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end, because Jesus is coming back really soon. That's 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Firmly wrap them. Listen, this word gird or girded or girt in your Bible, the word is peridzonomi, big word in the Greek. It means to be firmly wrapped tightly about. Oh, I like that. We need to be like that with truth. All right, application here. And then we'll be done. So how do we do it? How do we make this work? Last night, I sat there with that book and my Bible open here, and I had a couple of guys here, and I had the Christian full armor open. And I just go, how do I put this stuff on? How do I gird myself about? And once I've done it, how do I make sure it's done right? How do I continue to grow? How do you guys continue to grow? This fellowship and any fellowship you go to from this day out is dependent upon individuals. Ken will not hold my hand into the kingdom of heaven. As much as I'm going to need him to drag me into heaven, it's illegal. You've got to get there by yourself. There's a saying that says, God has no grandchildren. I like that, because I'm not going to get to heaven on the faith of a friend or of a parent or of somebody else, and neither will you. And the bottom line is this. If the enemy is like a lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour, faith, and if we're to gird up the loins of our mind and our very vitals, our heart, our soul, with truth, if we're going to do these things, we've got to be very aware that we don't fall into the hands of the enemy. And listen, I wrote these down concerning me, and maybe they'll help you. I need to ask the Lord to open up his scriptures to my heart, that I will understand them the way he has revealed them in his word, and for me not to read anything in them to appease my lack of spirituality. Are you with me? Because the first thing that people will begin to do as human beings is justify your sinful condition. Don't you do that? I bit the dog because it's not because of my temper, I have a protein deficiency. Or, you see, I'm really angry today because I'm, whatever, my hormones are imbalanced, or whatever it is. Now, if you have PMS, and I have three girls, I'm going to have PMS 3 times a month. Okay? And every Sunday I have PMS. That's post-ministry syndrome. So I get it from all ends. But listen, if you have that problem, by the way, tonight, God is stronger than that too. You can buy 1,000 books on how to beat PMS, and I think that the Lord may have a lot to do with it in the way of deliverance, or at least making it better. That's a little side issue. That's free. Save you a trip to the doctor. But we need to be careful about windy doctrines. How do I apply it to my heart? I need to be careful. I need to judge everything I hear by revealed scripture. Number two, this is a big one. Missed application. I read it, boy, John ought to be reading this verse right now, shouldn't he? Oh, and where's my wife? Get my kids in here. This is a great verse. And I want to apply it to everybody but myself. Boy, I'm an expert on applying it to everybody else, but boy, you know, I don't need this. And Satan will come to you and say this. Have you ever heard this? Well, you know, you're beyond that. You're above that one. That's for that guy and that guy. But you know, and you love the Lord so much, you can let that slide. That's from the pit. That's missed application. Because we'll listen to the enemy and he'll say, yeah, that's a real truth there, guy. But you've remembered 2 years ago, you beat that one. You're up here now and you can just, you know, delete that one. He does that to me. He speaks that stuff to my heart. We have to be careful. I have to be careful. Because people will say, can you answer this question? What about this verse? What about this? And it's neat. I love the Word of God and I love to be in there. But you know what? I have caught the enemy coming to me and saying, wow, that's really something. And you go, yeah, that's right. You know, look out. And the Lord says, man, you better sit out. We're all prone to those kinds of things, misapplication. If I'm walking upright in the Word of God, I tell you, you're going to be humble, you're going to be meek, you're going to be powerful, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be in battles, but you're going to be victorious. Spiritual trouble, as I am now. And I go, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's exactly how it is. But we have to be careful how we apply. And then this one. If we miss the application, we will literally become hindrances to the work of Christ. Not only in your home, but in this fellowship and everywhere you traffic, you'll be a debt to the growth of Christ in the lives of so many people instead of an asset. How? Gossip? That's a big one. Slander? Well, Joe is, he loves the Lord and all, but he's kind of weak in that area. That's wrong. That is wrong, 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 wrong. To do. We ought not ever say things like that. We need to be forgiven for those things because gossip and slander in the name of Christianity, so many people come to prayer meetings to find out what's the scoop. Have you ever heard of that happen? It's tragic. Some people also will even go in prayer in a group and they'll say, you know, Lord, help me cope with my neighbor who is in adultery. And then they go on this big thing, and it's a gossip. They'll even disguise it and that kind of a thing. It's wrong. We need to be so careful because the enemy will use these things. He'll get his foot in the door, and it'll begin to tear down the body of Christ, which leads to divisions. This little fellowship, so many of you are totally unaware. Some of you have been from the very beginning. This thing has been attacked on different fronts. And you could see that the motive, the source from the enemy was division, to divide and destroy the body. And bless God, every time it happened, the body grew better, grew stronger. But he'll do that. And all of these things will come about because you're not rooted and grounded in the truth. So when you have your loins, your vitals girded about with truth, that truth means, this is my opinion, that truth means sound doctrine with a sincere heart. That's how we're to approach the Word of God. And I want to end with this. This is for me. I need to apply these things to my home first, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, which I think is good for every Christian to nail on their front door to start living it because they're a minister. Anyway, 1 Timothy 3, my home has got to be church. My home's got to work right. And this is the greatest fear I have after the Lord's brought us into this ministry, and it's this. My kids, they joke about this. They say, Pastor Daddy, and I really can't stand that. I ask them not to say that. Because to my kids, in a way, I don't ever want to be a pastor to my kids. I want to be a daddy. Because if I'm the right kind of a daddy, my kids will fall in love with Jesus. I'll just be the best man, you see. I'll just lead them to the Lord so they can marry him. That's my motive. But you know what? If I misapply, if I do not gird my loins about with truth, you know what's going to happen? They're going to say, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was even a a pastor. And I don't want anything to do with pastors. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. That'll make me sick. A man came to me today at work. He spilled his guts out concerning the situation, and we've talked about certain things in this man. With this man, we've met for a long time with the problems in his life. And he's got this new problem with his family and with his wife. And, you know, I just said, you know what? I have nothing to say to you anymore. You know the word of the Lord. Your children now are rebelling. They're getting old enough because Christianity was not lived out in your home. That's why they're not listening. That's why they're rebelling. That's why they're staying out late at night, because there's no example in the home. All they heard was you and the wife fighting back and forth continually. And then you sat down at the table and prayed over dinner. No way. Spare the prayer. It did too much damage. The kids want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with their parents. And it's tragic. I told him today, I said, if God does not intervene radically in your home, I said, do not be surprised if someday you get into your car and your son is hanging from the rafters from your garage. I said, that is a hard thing to say. But what you're telling me and what I've seen for 10 years in your home, that's exactly where it's leading, because Christ has never been followed seriously in your house. And you know what? I was shocked saying those things. He wasn't shocked at all. I think those thoughts had already gone through his mind. I told him he needed to fast and pray and seek God hard. And he has been. But it takes the wife to do the same. I don't want my kids growing up to just reject Christ because of me. What a horrible thing. Preach a message, lead people in prayer, see people come to Christ, see healings. My kids hear about it. My kids see it. My home with junior high school kids, hearing the gospel, and then for me to blow it after everybody's gone home and treat Lisa like she might be some kind of a maid instead of a wife given by God. If I act like that, then my kids will have a right to reject the gospel as they know it. Because James Dobson says the gospel is caught rather than taught. And I like that. The big things, I tell you, I don't remember much what my daddy said, but I remember what my dad did. My dad, a Marine, drill instructor like yours. My dad didn't talk much, but boy, when he moved, it was, you know, the mountains melted like wax when he began to move. And then Paul said this is it, final. This is a verse that's been, I've had this verse in my heart for years. In Romans 15:8, Paul says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not worked by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." That blows my mind to just begin to meditate on that verse. Paul says, I'm not going to talk to anybody about Christ unless Christ first has worked these things in my life. Paul's saying, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. No way. I will not do it, Paul says. And listen, Paul says in Ephesians, stand therefore having girded your waist, your vitals about with true doctrine and a true heart. That's the bottom line, you guys. That is the bottom line, and it's absolutely essential. It's by no mistake that in verse 13 he says, take up the whole armor. And the first thing he goes into concerning that list that we'll look at in the weeks to come is having your procreative parts girded about with truth. Let's pray. Father, it is our heart's desire tonight for every one of us here. Oh God, please forgive us of our waywardness. Forgive us, Father, for misapplying the scriptures to our own lives. Oh, Father, it is our prayer this evening in the name of Jesus that these people tonight here and myself, and God, may you start with me first, that you would send a revival. And Lord, that you would touch us. And God, that you'd fill us with sincerity, hearts really without wax, it means true, faithful hearts, honest hearts. And Father, help us to desire, to hunger, to lust for true doctrine, for the Word of God. And Lord, may we not be able to lay our heads down at night without first quenching that appetite of being in the Word of God, even if it's a verse or even a hymn. Oh, Lord, awaken our hearts and bless, Father, your people. And God, for the Sunday people who should have been here tonight, God, speak these truths to their heart. Touch them and awaken them out of their sleep that they may fight the good fight. In Jesus' name, amen.